I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I don't think it was so much the pickleball. It's that he just left you guys hanging.
Yeah.
It's not that he decided he would get a better practice.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, but we committed already.
Yeah.
You know? I get the geography of it. I get it's a lot easier down there. It's just you're our fourth.
Yeah, don't say. Or, guys, I if I can, yeah, but you might want to find a fourth because that's kind of a haul for me to get over there.
Well, that's here's fine. The thing. We found a fourth. AK in the house.
Wait, he's hopefully. Not, he's closer than Yates, I guess. You, I didn't know.
Next
that
week, a week from today, we'll do our.
We're going to do it here or somewhere around here.
I was going to say. Remember, I mentioned the court in Pasadena is like 15 minutes away.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, so
I'll do that. I got some spots over there that I can hit after for food. I got a couple.
Most
of
Most important,
right?
Hey, that's not far from your.
That's my backyard. Yeah. That was home for me for a very, very long time. Somebody's telling me to listen to the George Clooney story on Smartless about my God. There's something similar going.
One of those.
I've heard it. And it's very funny. And it's worse. His is worse, but very, very funny along the way. We've obviously spent most of the day out talking about Anthony Davis, talking about that he did not play last night. There were...
The predicament around it.
There's just a couple of different explanations as to why he didn't play, and they don't really line up together, which leads to a whole nother round of speculation along the way. There was another story that was out there yesterday that... The Luka Kyrie thing is a very temporary thing, right? That Kyrie still has expressed his desire to reconnect with LeBron James to play for the Lakers. We know that LeBron loves Kyrie.
Yeah.
We know that he was it with Wilbon where he said, yeah, I was disappointed that didn't go down, which was.
Might have been Wilbon, yeah.
Yeah, it was odd, right? To just be that frank about it. It was refreshing, but it was unusual. And until Kyrie is signed to a long-term deal somewhere else, the speculation is going to continue to be around.
He'll be a free agent this summer.
Yeah.
So that's going to happen.
And add in the fact that Anthony Davis is unavailable frequently, I guess is a charitable way of putting it. You'd still kind of have those conversations floating around the team about is the future LeBron, AD, and others, or is it LeBron, Kyrie, and others? Is it all three of them? But the Kyrie-LeBron reunion in L.A. still has a heartbeat.
So a couple things. First off, I don't think it would be LeBron and Kyrie. AD would be that part of that big three mix, however you want to call it. I will tell you from the trade deadline that happened and getting a chance to see all these players play together, depth is becoming more and more. A team is becoming more and more, I think, a vision that most Laker fans are getting more and more comfortable with. Now, you can sit here and try to make an argument, and the argument can be if in the summer, let's say the Lakers never really got a chance to make the playoffs, let's say LeBron, we got that news a little bit earlier, is going to be reassessed in 3 weeks. They're going to reevaluate LeBron James in 3 weeks. Let's say they never really all get a chance to play together and we don't really know what it could have been. And then the question mark in the offseason is you don't really know what that was. You got literally no sample size because you can't call two games, five games. You got no sample size to see what that is versus go get Kyrie. I'll be the first one to tell you that I was when Kyrie, the news came out that he wanted out of Brooklyn, you and I were doing the show when that happened. And I was saying, bring Kyrie in.
Mm-hmm.
Having got a chance to see some of the pieces that they got, having got a chance to see how the more LeBron gets older, Anthony Davis in and out of the lineup, how important it is to have a season where maybe you don't have to depend as much on the superstars because you got other role players, I'm okay with them building with what they got over go get Kyrie, throw it all in the mix and try it. But that's me sitting here today. That's how I would feel. But the Kyrie thing can happen. You're not wrong on that. That could definitely still happen.
What you just described is analytical and logical and follows a pattern. The Lakers have not done what logical, analytical, follow a pattern since they won the championship, right? That since they've won that championship, it's kind of been, well, let's try this. Nope, didn't. Okay, let's go over there. They won a championship and blew up the team.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and then they Came back the next year with a bunch of older guys. That didn't work. You come back the year
with
after
Russ.
That with Russ. That mm-hmm. didn't really work. And then you have this season where you had the beginning of the year where the roster really didn't make much sense to anybody. And then
too many guards, not enough wings, Russ still there.
You put this together, and to your point, who knows? Maybe it's good. Maybe it's not. I don't know. It hasn't been on the court.
But this was plan B,
right?
Because if the Brooklyn Nets decided they were going to trade Kyrie to the Lakers, Kyrie would have been here.
And that, so I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what LeBron's input in all of this could be, right? Because if LeBron comes in and says, look, I love Jared Vanderbilt and Malik Beasley and Rui and all these other guys, but
trade them.
Go get me Kyrie. Go get me my guy. They probably will.
Yeah.
They probably will. And I'm like, be unbelievable to watch for good reasons, bad reasons, talk show reasons, all of the above. It would be amazing. But that it's not dead out. The longer that the rumor exists, the more likely I think it is to come true.
So the only reason why it's not dead is because I don't think it was going to be dead unless Kyrie and Luka were working great.
We're killing it, yeah.
And Kyrie was deciding, guys, I kind of want to be here long term. I like that I'm not in Brooklyn, or I like that I'm not in L.A. I like that I could be in a market that is not as glamorous as some of these big markets. But it's gone the opposite way, which I think will create more of those rumors as we go.
Let's try a phone call here. Let's go to Adam in Los Angeles. Adam, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up, Adam?
Oh.
Adam.
Adam, you there, bud?
Hey.
Yeah, go ahead, bud.
I'm here.
Yep. Okay.
Oh, I got to drop in money.
I don't know what's going on here.
I'm not Adam. I'm Harvey from Long Beach.
Hi, Harvey.
Oh, that's on us then. That's on us. Harvey, I apologize.
Where did Adam go?
Let's move on. I got a couple of things about this. One, isn't Kyrie a free agent?
He'll be a free agent at the end of the season. Yep.
Yeah, so if they want to sign him, they could sign him. Why don't they play Cole Swider? Why don't they play Cole Swider and Scottie Pippen Jr. more? It's two spots that they need, and they're both well-coached players. I don't understand. And the more you look at their numbers, you freak. They can produce.
It's yours.
Oh, you want my takes on Cole Swider?
Yes.
look.
Too young, buddy. Just too young. That's it. And there's plenty of other guys there that they'll play in front of them.
The guy that's been, I think, a revelation, and he was great again last night, has been Reeves. Reeves is...
He's a baller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every time you watch him, you're like... Because at first you're like, oh, it's kind of cool. He's better than I thought. And then it's... he's a lot better than I thought. To, is he good? To, he's good.
Or no, how about this? How about there are times you're watching the game and you're saying, why isn't Reeves in?
Yes.
Is that not a good example of a player that has production?
Last night was when he had the little up and under, right? Which was just a great play.
Beautiful.
Just a beautiful, beautiful play. And it wasn't like jump off of your couch, like, I can't believe I just saw Austin Reeves do this. Like, yeah, that's a nice play.
Mm-hmm.
Which takes you to a different level. You're not shocked when you see something like that, that they're going to need to find more people, especially whether it's Swider or Pippen or whoever. They're as shorthanded as it could possibly be. D'Angelo is maybe targeting
out tomorrow,
this weekend.
Targeting Sunday.
Sunday, okay, targeting. Take that for what it's worth. Anthony Davis is Anthony Davis, so hopefully he plays, but take that for, you know, I don't know if he will or he won't. They're going to need everybody.
Can you play this for me just to do it for the sake of doing it? 19 games left. They went 2-1 on that road trip. The only reason why I mention it, there are a lot of teams in front of them keep losing. It's kind of fascinating to see how bad a lot of these teams are. Utah lost to the Spurs at home. Blazers lost 4 of 5, and they lost yesterday to the Pelicans, who have also been losing. Let's say Anthony Davis and D'Angelo Russell in these final 19 games play 16 each. Take off the back-to-backs, take off another game here and there. D'Angelo comes back. The only reason D'Angelo's missed 4 in a row because he turned his ankle in the first game coming back from the break. If they play 16 games each and you got all these role players there, they miss three more the rest of the way, they're in the play-in tournament, I think. I think they're in the play-in tournament.
The setup, I can't buy it. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis might play in 3 of the next 16. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does. That's my point. I'm not.
We know Bron's not there.
Yeah, but I'm done with the if Anthony Davis blanks. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I'm done. I'm not even going to play the game of, well, if he's there and if he this, that's, and the other. I don't know, man.
But we did that at the All-Star break.
I understand. I've hit the tipping point. I'm done. I hope he plays. I hope he plays well. D'Angelo Russell, I expect to play 16 of the remaining 19 games. I mean, I don't know, man. He played
in every one until yesterday, and we did it at the All-Star break.
It wasn't just that, Al. It was the entire confusing mess surrounding.
I know.
It wasn't just that if they had come out yesterday prior to the game, said, look, he's not playing tonight because we decided a couple weeks ago he's not playing. All right, I don't like it, but I get it.
Mm-hmm.
If he had said, hey, listen, he woke up in the middle of the night and his foot was bothering him. It turns out he twisted it in the second quarter. Okay, I buy it. But he's 100% pain-free, but he's got a foot thing, and it was scheduled a long time ago, but it wasn't scheduled a long time ago because the head coach said that everybody's playing and even back-to-backs. There's just so many conflicting stories. I've punted on it.
So you think they're in?
I've punted on it. I don't know. I hope so. I am adopting the – I'm going to watch him play on Friday night against the Timberwolves. I'm going to be hoping that they win the game. But beyond that,
and
I
then
have
take
no
it to Sunday.
Exactly.
And then take
I have no right. expectations.
It's fair.
I have expectations for D'Angelo. I have expectations for LeBron hopefully sneaking back in before the end of the line because we found out
right
that he's going to miss
some
time.
Tendon injury will be reevaluated
sounds
in 3 weeks.
Painful, by the way.
Awful.
That's. Have you ever had plantar fasciitis?
Yeah, I did for a short period of time.
It hurts, man.
I feel like I don't even know how to describe him. What's going on here?
It feels like your foot's going to crack
yes,
in half.
That's yeah. Your foot's going to crack in half.
That's what it feels. Yeah. And it kind of gets better throughout the day if you walk a lot and move a lot. But the second you stop, it feels like your foot's going to crack in half again.
Okay, so we've all done this before. You see Dennis Schroeder turning his ankle right there. I don't know if you saw it yesterday when it was happening live. That happens to me. I'm out 6 to 9 months. That dude took a timeout, came back in, and played the rest of the way.
Got up and continued to play.
Sheesh.
Huh. Imagine that. Imagine that. It's the snake draft. Coming up next, it's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, guys. It's time for
the... Think it's picked, Taylor?
I just like the song.
Okay.
It's MASH, by the way, if people don't recognize the theme song.
180 zillion people watched it.
Exactly. So, welcome to the most rewatchable TV shows draft. I'm the commissioner today. The order in which we pick, it's going to be a snake draft. And it's going to be start with Alan. So it's going to go Alan, Travis, Taylor, Emily. Emily again. This is randomly generated. Did not preference myself. Then Taylor, Travis, and Alan again.
Sounds shady as hell.
And we have three picks each.
Yep.
So we're going to have 12 in total.
So basically, any show that if it's on TV, you're like, hey, I'm stopping right here. Shows that you watch all the time, doesn't matter what's going on, or you go out of your way to rewatch.
And it's enjoyable to rewatch.
Yep.
You
go out of your way. A million times and you watch it.
And you watch it again.
Right, exactly. So okay. For the first pick, it's going to be Alan.
I'm on the clock. I have 4 minutes to decide, so just so you guys know. No, but you have the first pick. Okay, so I had a difficult time between a couple shows here, but to have the number one pick, this is, I think, my favorite show of all time. I could watch it at any time. The Office is just one of the funniest things that I've ever seen. I don't care when it's on. I don't care if I'm going to rewatch it. Give me Office with my number one pick in the draft.
It's a good answer. It's a really
good
that, by the way, that was the one on the back of your pad that I saw that for whatever
son of a.
For whatever reason, I didn't have it on mine. It absolutely should have been. But good answer. Same exact logic that you're talking about. I think that comedies are, for me, a little bit more rewatchable than some dramatic things. I got some. I'm going to get a drama in here for sure.
Yeah.
But something that I know every joke. They're still funny.
Yep.
I know it's coming. It still makes me laugh. I love all the characters.
With the second pick in the draft.
Seinfeld.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good choice. Yeah. Good choice.
Taylor?
That one off my list, son of a...
Okay, I know Trav's going to be pissed that I take this one, but The Simpsons.
Oh, Taylor.
I can watch it anytime.
I almost took The Simpsons with my first one, but...
And hope that it
I would never
around.
Take Seinfeld, by the way, so...
Yeah, you probably would have been okay to have it come back.
Maybe. Emily, I don't know.
No, I don't think
I've never
would.
Seen Seinfeld.
Yeah, I should have... You guys are right. I should have waited.
Yeah, you valued it too high. Damn. You could have gotten the second round.
If you'd have had both on your list, it's ball game.
I could have got them both.
That would have been ball
that
game.
That would have been good.
Right, okay.
Excellent.
So mine is going to be one that I came to later in life. It came to me also late in its run. It's one of the longest running shows, and it's still running. It's on FX. It's one of my favorite shows, and it's it's a show that I watch if I'm inebriated. It's a show that I can watch if I'm not inebriated. It's a show that bonds my friends together. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It is. I lived in Philadelphia for a little bit of time too, and it's an amazing show. It's true to the people, and it's so funny.
It's fantastic.
Big fan.
It's fantastic.
All four people took comedies.
Yep.
It's by far the most rewatchable genre.
Here. Yeah, I think so too.
All right, so this next one is gonna be.
You know, she gets two picks. Huh?
Yes, so now here
this
for the...
one over here.
Just random generator.
Just random generator.
No shenanigans at all.
So this is, again, going to be in the comedy category. It's a show that I watched from its inception to its completion. It is in the same vein of The Office. It is about... You can hop in anywhere. Great characters, great beginning, great ending.
I think I know it.
Parks and Recreation.
Yeah.
For the fifth pick in the draft.
It's a good pick.
Those are my two. So we're going to go back to Taylor.
Wait, I thought you get three in a row. According to her draft, she goes three in a row.
Parks and Rec I really like. I like it a lot. I like almost all of the characters. Ron Swanson's an all-timer.
Mm-hmm.
If you just snapped your fingers and it was gone forever, I wouldn't be heartbroken. If you removed The Simpsons.
So it was not on my list,
yeah.
Parks and Rec.
And I
but
like
I know that's
it.
One
I
that she's referenced
like
a lot.
I do like it, but I could live without it.
Yeah.
Taylor.
Galentine's Day? And treat yourself?
Like I said, it's really good. I
do
really,
I know,
really like it.
Do I know what he's going with his second pick?
Do you, Slee? Do you?
Is it animated as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know where he's going.
You King going of the Hill.
Oh, okay, no.
Right.
Did not know that.
I was
did not know that.
The Flintstones.
Tom and Jerry.
It encapsulates small town life so well. King of the Hill, yeah. Mike Judge, two Fox shows for me.
So King of the Hill, when it came out, I'm like, I don't get it. Like, and it didn't hit me. I didn't hate it, but I'm like, I don't get it.
Then you moved to Texas?
Bam. That's it. I moved, and I'm like, oh,
really?
Yeah. Much funnier having been exposed to that particular type of guy.
Yep.
Because everybody in that show actually exists in one form or the other. I'm going drama. I'm going to go the first person that is taking a drama here. Very popular, very well received. Smart, I think. There's little teeny tiny nuances. Every time you watch, you're like, oh gosh, I missed that the first time. And I see it. It's not particularly funny. It's a period piece, which I like this era. I love the main character because he's kind of fun and interesting, but all in all told, a really bad guy. I love this decade. I'm going to take Mad Men and Don Draper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could watch that show. In fact, I watched an episode and a half yesterday. I really, really like that show. So
The Suitcase is one of the best episodes of TV ever.
You could almost, that's a great one for sure, but you could, if you just like spun a wheel and and kind of just picked one at random, I would sit there and watch it. I love that show.
All right, Al. You have two in a row.
All right, so these are my final two picks. I'm having difficulty here because I have three that are still on my list that I can choose from. Let me just get this one out of the way because I want it to be number two. I just love the character. Al Bundy is probably the funniest character that I've seen in most TV. Married with Children is my number two pick. In a weird way, I grew up with Married with Children. I don't know how that's possible in my family's household, but we did. For my final pick, that I'm trying to figure out here.
Plus, you get Kelly Bundy with that pick. She's fantastic.
Get Kelly Bundy.
She's
right?
fantastic. Great actor and really, really funny.
The final pick that I'm trying to figure out, does Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives count
100%
as one?
100% counts. 100%.
Yes. Okay. And that, you know why I hate that as an answer?
Yeah.
You know why I hate it?
Why is that?
It's great.
That's what I thought you saw on the back of
no,
my thing.
That's a great answer.
So my number three is Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I could watch that. Maybe it's just because it's food. I love Guy Fieri. I think he's fantastic.
Guy who?
I just made up his last name.
Guy Fieri. That's the new guy.
No, I said Fieri, but I think that's wrong too, right?
It's Fieri.
Fieri. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just...
By the way, from this point forward,
yeah.
It's Guy Fieri.
You're mistaken, D.
Guy Fieri is
I didn't say
awesome.
Fieri. I said Fieri, and that was wrong, off too.
But Guy Fieri was your second try, which I like more.
His personality is amazing. I he's go that my number three.
You know he's like the world's nicest guy, too, by all accounts.
Big Warrior fan, too. He's always at the game.
Huge Raider fan, and when the pandemic was going and restaurants were going out of business left and right, he gave away millions of dollars to all the people that worked in restaurant industry. He's like a genuinely really good
loves
dude.
Football.
All right, that's my number three.
He does.
Trav?
Damn it, Al. I hate that you got that. I didn't even think of it, but it's a great answer. So I have to decide whether or not I'm going to go with something funny, something kind of thought-provoking, or just something very, very personal to me. Okay? I'm going with the third thing. I have funny with Seinfeld. I have something thought-provoking and interesting in Mad Men. I'm going something that is Travis exclusive. Documentaries. I want my documentaries because I don't care what it is.
That's
I'm watching.
Pretty funny.
It is the very definition of rewatchable for me, where if it's on, if it's Fernando, great. If it's the 88 NLCS, great. If it's the World Series, great. If it's Kershaw, great. Doesn't matter. They had one on this morning when I walked in about the history of Dodger Stadium. I stood there like this for an hour, just staring at it. It's the documentaries.
You guys were prepping and you paid no attention. Oh, yeah, 90210 would
There's
be a good one.
There's way too many of them that are bad. I love the show, don't get me wrong, but there were as many bad episodes in that show as there were good ones. Documentaries have a 100% or a 1,000 batting average.
All right, Taylor, your last pick.
Okay, I'm just going to base this off shows that I have actually rewatched and recently did this to a drama. I didn't know if it would hold up. I didn't know if I would like it the second time around, but Breaking Bad.
Great choice.
Dang it, Taylor!
I was surprised it wasn't one of your first two, Em. I really was.
Okay, so it wasn't one of my first two because it is so heavy.
Yeah.
It's hard, but I do, honestly, I watch it once a year. It's kind of like I say.
Really? Wow.
Watch it, the whole thing, once a year.
I never went back and watched it.
It's,
I liked it.
It's
I just
worth
never went
it.
Back.
You get something new every time that you watch it.
I agree
and
with that.
There's it's so dense. It's so detailed. There are so many things that you miss. And even time I go back and watch it, I still get new things.
You know what I think?
Mad Men's like that for me.
Yeah.
I think it's also, maybe with some of these, that they're not connected and that I could walk into an episode of The Office and not really have to know what happened the episode before, what happened. And I'll use the same thing with Diners. I could just kind of aimlessly watch without having to
what
schedule
if you run
it.
Into that vegan episode? Hate that. Because it's like every 10th episode is like, we're checking out all vegan places here on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. It's like,
come on,
Fieri, man. Go get me the greasy chili burger. That's what I'm here for.
And it gets you places that you want to go visit if you happen to go be traveling.
I'm down here in Dana Point. We're checking out a spot that's good and the most killer fish and chips that we've had in all of South
that's
Orange
not
County.
Bad.
We're
not...
doing Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
That's not bad right there.
All right. So I'm picking the Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft. So I am stuck with the same predicament that you have, Travis. I'm going to go, do I go my personal rewatchable, or do I go something that I do like to rewatch and is very beloved by our listeners, very beloved by people in general, and it would be my only drama on my list.
You need a
and
drama.
I got to round it out.
You got two comedies.
And I have a dramedy and I have a drama. So it's really hard for me to choose. I am going to go with Sopranos as my Mr. Irrelevant and my close second. My honorable mention is going
to
be Succession. I think it's because it's so
early. You don't get
to
pick four.
And it's not done. This is my honorable mention. it's not done, so I can't say it's completely rewatchable, but it's comedy mixed with drama, and it's really good.
It is good. I like it too. That the Sopranos, I think, is a better choice, Em, because I'm actually watching it now with Michael. He's never seen it before, so we're going through it, and it's terrific.
It's funny.
It's incredible. We were talking about that. It's funny without trying to be funny, which makes it even funnier. Succession, fast forward 10 years from now. I don't know if I need to see that again. I don't know if I need to see that. It's good.
Almost too close
and
to
will
home.
It will it hold up?
Right.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm excited. It comes the end of this month, right?
Yeah. So the season premiere for the final season of The Succession is going to be on the 24th of March. And there's a new trailer dropped today. Gosh, it looks so good.
Nobody took this show, but it's the definition of rewatchable for the simple reason that it's been on TV for 40 years and will probably be on for 40 more.
Yep. Cheers.
No. Law and Order.
Oh, yeah.
It's just that, to your
only
point.
Only because I never watch it.
But to your point, you don't have to have seen any episode
ever. Oh, yeah,
ever.
None you of them connect.
You just turn it on, and it's a little 40 minutes of controlled beginning, middle, end. It's not my favorite show ever, but if I'm flipping around, I see, you know, I'll watch that.
Will there be a show that people get angry at us that we didn't pick, like Ted last week?
100%. I think that we left off, I don't know, we left off Cheers, Saved by the Bell. You know, Community,
Fresh Prince.
Arrested Development.
I think I was the Fresh only Prince. Fresh Prince.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we left off. So if we did miss something that's your favorite that you would pick number one, definitely tell us.
10 years ago, I probably would have had Reno 911 on there. I think just it was hilarious.
Survivor. So I love rewatching Survivor.
Really?
Oh, yes.
But isn't it like you kind of know who wins the challenge? I don't know the structure of the show very well.
But it's still fun because you like miss some things, all the good stuff. It's fun to Jersey also rewatch Shore. Other people.
Fernando threw 8 shutouts in a row to open the season.
The Situation or Fernando? Taking the Situation.
How dare you?
All day long.
They're not hanging a Situation's spray tan on the outfield wall at Dodger Stadium. But number 34, that's going up there. LeBron James got a little update on his health. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
By the way, real quick, they got it wrong. People are saying that your impression of they're putting here Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
It's wrong. It's Guy Fieretti. I added 2 T's.
Can we go back to the tape? I really want to see what you said first and second because I need to figure out which one I like more.
Well, which one did you think it was?
I thought you said Guy Freddy to
it's
start.
Not Freddy. I
Guy
said
Fieretti?
Something like that. Yeah, I definitely was something
it
like that.
It is so on brand for you, Al, that it's terrific, and I love it because it's such a good choice for the draft.
I couldn't get his last name
got
right.
His name wrong.
Yeah. Stole my pick.
The big one we missed was Curb. A lot of people are
that's
saying
what I was telling him.
Yeah.
And by the way, if I could actually go back, I'd have no problem putting Curb in there. And the question is, it probably goes in and takes Married with Children out.
Yeah. Curb was great. It's great. It's not super rewatchable for me. Like, if I'm flipping through and I see one,
that guy gets
moving.
Me. He's hilarious, especially because you took
but that's
Seinfeld.
Not the point.
That's I should have took that one.
But it is funny. He is hilarious, but that show is not super rewatchable for me. I liked it, but I don't know. I don't stop on it, I guess, is the answer. I just kind of keep it moving. This guy gets me more than anybody. This is from Steve Madden. Tell Trav that if he stops in Arcadia, I've got Taco Lito on the house. Do you guys have a restaurant like this? So there's this little taco place in Arcadia called Taco Lito. It's been there at least 50 years, maybe 60. It's not very good. I go every time I go through Arcadia because it has like this very strong.
Overhyped?
No, it's just nostalgia that it's where we would go in high school at the end of the night. It was where you'd go, you know, after practice, baseball practice, you'd swing through and grab tight. It's not bad, but there's literally nothing particularly special about it. And every time I go through Arcadia, I stop and get it. Do you have like one of those? Yeah, this isn't the best thing I've ever had, but just brings back good memories.
I don't know. Most of the time. Okay, here's a place. I don't know if this is going to count as one. Let me give you just an example here. All right, here's an example. The problem is they got multiple locations, okay?
Okay.
You've been to Rubio's before.
Oh, sure.
Right? Rubio's nothing great at all. Like, when I say nothing great at all, it's like it's not one of those places you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm getting a chance to go here.
Right.
Every time I freaking have it, I like put it up in this ranking of like, I'm going to Rubio's as if it's like a special meal.
Yeah.
Maybe that one as an example.
It's not bad.
So this might be more regional. I do think that they have one here in Los Angeles, but Sonic. I feel like everyone talks up Sonic so much. I go every time and I'm like mostly disappointed. There's like one or two items I'll get. Like I like their mozzarella sticks and I like their like slushy things. But like in general, it's like a miss for me.
I think I've only had it once or twice. I don't have a strong opinion. I put it this way. I haven't sought it out.
Have I had Sonic? I might have never had Sonic in my life.
They have tots there, yes?
Yes, they have tots. Yeah. They have like their thing, though, is their like limeades they do.
Yeah,
we didn't have them here for a while, and now I think there's some around.
Also,
it was Guy Freddy. Play it again.
Yeah, it sounded like Freddy. Guy Freddy. Alan... Fieri, man. Fieri.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
We also missed I Love Lucy, which is the most rewatchable of all time.
Yeah,
you're a hater. It's fine.
The worst.
And there's one I missed, but yeah. I think I Love Lucy is funny. It's like it's funny for the time.
Okay. Sure. I guess. I just did.
Oh, that 70s show, Malcolm in the Middle, was a suggestion from.
70s show was good. Malcolm in the Middle actually wasn't bad as well, but it's not I haven't watched them in a long time.
It's not The Office. It's not Seinfeld. It's not one of those.
Curb is the one I'm kind of a little disappointed I didn't pick.
Trav, doing a Guy Fieri impression is the entertainment I needed. You're welcome.
Guy Freddy.
Well, this is from DJ Trunks, who says, Trav does a hell of a Guy Freddy. Thank you.
The trend has begun.
Laker Country writes, Trav nailed Guy Fieri impersonation. You guys need to get the guy in studio and play that back for him. That would be hilarious.
I will call him Guy Freddy. You've done some great things in your career, Guy Freddy.
I got a confession to make.
Mm-hmm.
I stole that impression from Michael, my son.
Oh, really?
Michael
legit at it?
It's amazing.
Mm.
I think he stole it from Guy Fieri.
Michael's like a really good mimic. Like he's very good at kind of making fun of the way that other people and finding those little things and kind of extrapolating them. So I basically did a bad impression of Michael's very good impression of Guy Fieri. So it's like a copy of a copy of a copy, only it gets worse along the way. LeBron James, here's an update on his injured foot. Through medical examination, it was determined LeBron James suffered a right foot tendon injury. The Lakers announced on Thursday he will be reevaluated in approximately 3 weeks. So we know what it is. It's a right tendon injury. We know the timeline-ish in that he'll be reevaluated in 3 weeks, but the word that jumps out at both of us, Slee, there is reevaluate.
Yeah. Reevaluate in 3 weeks in about 5 weeks left in the season. So if we're just kind of playing this out here, I'd be surprised. I'd take this as just a positive if we see Bron at some point the rest of the regular season, because it would mean a couple things. It would mean that the Lakers are obviously in the hunt and the Lakers have decided, hey, let's bring this dude back because we got a chance to make the playoffs and he's feeling good. Part of it also would be that Bron would have an opportunity to just kind of rest up and heal before you get into that play-in tournament or before you make a run in the playoffs. But I think if you're depending on LeBron James to help you get in the play-in tournament or the postseason, you should not depend on him to be a part of it, because he's not going to be. I mean, 3 weeks is enough to say, just to get reassessed, that's enough to say that that's over 50% of the remaining games that he's not going to be a part of.
He could be the difference to you getting out of the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
He could be the difference to you maybe scaring someone in the first round of the playoffs if in fact you can get out of the play-in. But I don't think he's going to be a factor in whether you get in or not.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be because Vanderbilt and Beasley and everyone else are really good. It's got to be because D'Angelo Russell comes back and not only plays, but plays well. And then cross your fingers for Anthony Davis that you get the, you know, some good basketball out of him. That big LeBron's not going to determine whether they get in or not.
Well, if that piece, what you just said here, the cross your fingers about AD, that's the other piece. If you don't have, if Anthony Davis is not there for 15 of these final 19 games, then we all already have our answer. Now, yeah. part of the good thing, I will just kind of mention
they
this.
They play crummy teams.
So they got, but you know, it's kind of funny here.
Emily, didn't you say they have the easiest schedule remaining in the league?
Yeah, it's one of the easiest schedules left in the NBA. What's crazy, you kind of go look at the schedule, and I think this talks to, I think we got to be very careful when we say, man, the West is stacked. No, it's not. If you have 13 teams still fighting for eight positions or whatever the case is, it's not stacked. It means Denver's good.
Yeah.
Memphis is consistent. Phoenix, we assume, is going to be good. And Sacramento, one of the more consistent teams in the NBA without playoff experience. That's kind of it
right now. I agree with you. I agree. And can we throw the Warriors in there?
We can. And I think for them, it's just going to come down to their health.
Yeah.
If they're healthy, I agree with you that nobody's going to want to face the Warriors if they're the Warriors.
A couple of things. And I don't know if this is leading us to think that things are better than they are or whether it just doesn't matter at all. The only reason we're still having a conversation about the Lakers, really, is because the rest of the bottom two-thirds of the Western Conference kind of sucks, right? The teams that you just mentioned, those top four or five, are pretty good to very good.
Everyone else is average.
Right. Mm-hmm. If everybody's about 500 or a game or two above or a game or two below, that's not very good. And the reason that, because what was it last year? The Spurs got in there 14 games under
14
500.
Games below 500.
So the floor has risen a lot, but none of those teams that we're talking about, Portland, Minnesota, Utah, the Lakers, all of, you know, who else we left out?
Pelicans,
of the
OKC.
It's pretty good. The Clippers. Clippers are good.
Are they?
Yeah,
I agree
I
with
think
you.
So.
Listen,
I think so.
I continue to say Clippers are going to be good. And every time I say that, let's use as an example tonight. Clippers play the Warriors in Golden State.
Okay.
Should the Clippers not win the game in Golden State when Steph Curry is not there?
Yeah, they should.
They should.
Yeah.
They lost to Minnesota in the last game.
They're a weird team.
They are a very weird team.
But they also are one of those teams that when they're firing, they're pretty darn good.
Okay, let's put it this way. If you said Clippers are going to play the Mavs in the first round,
I'd take the Clippers.
I would take the Clippers as well.
Yeah.
If you're going to say the Clippers are going to play the Timberwolves or the Jazz
Clippers.
Or the Pelicans or the Blazers, you take Clippers in all of them.
Yeah.
If I said Clippers are going to go up against the, maybe that's the interesting series, Clippers and the Kings. Maybe that's an interesting one.
I think I'd take the Clippers in that too.
I wouldn't. I don't. I think 75% of people would.
Yeah. It's put it to you this way. The Clippers, I wouldn't pick them against the Suns. I wouldn't pick them against the Nuggets. I wouldn't
How about against the Warriors? Healthy Warriors?
No, not a healthy
Warriors. Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't. But there's only a handful of teams that it would say, yeah, I think they'll beat them.
Look how much talent they have.
The West kind of stinks. You know, you have top-heavy conferences.
Yeah.
And then you just have bad the West is weird. They're like bloated in the middle, like the middle of it. They're kind of like a middle-aged man conference.
East is top heavy. That's a good
yeah, the middle, they got a bad waistline. That middle, it's kind of bulging out in the middle. The top's fine. The bottom, you always have a couple of
crummy
teams.
They have a lot of standing pants.
They have... yes. The Western Conference has a lot of standing pants. That's
got
exactly right. I got nothing to you add to that. The dump is coming up next, where there will be more standing pants on Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Good job, Em.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You might be already, Al, but you are going to get, all three of you are going to get very sick of hearing me talk about this, how much I love the pitch clock. Wandy Peralta for the Yankees struck out a Padre hitter today in 20 seconds. We're going to play the entire at-bat, okay? Okay. Here it comes. Wait, hold on. I got it right here.
Oh, a little quick pitch right there. Oh, Wandy Peralta.
Quick pitch for the clock. How about that?
He got the 16 seconds there, or he's got the 12 seconds there, I think. And now Tucapita's down two strikes within 8 seconds.
Wow. Don't need no pitch clock.
He struck a guy out in 20 seconds, Al. Pedro Baez didn't throw a pitch in 2.5 minutes, and he completed an at-bat in 20 seconds.
You know, when you first told me that, listening to it changes my entire perspective because, you know, you can say that. I kind of get in my mind, oh, yeah, it took 20 seconds. But what do you mean it took 20 seconds? By the time the catcher throws the ball back to the pitcher, he's not just firing it right away. He's firing it right away. And if you're at bat, you don't have a second to get out. You do this, what Nomar used to do, 38 different things.
It's a little jarring,
honestly. It is. It's basically, and this goes back to what we were saying a little bit earlier. The NBA and the NFL, typically, it's just smarter to wait for a break before you go do something. I'm going to go use a restroom. I'm going to go grab something from the fridge. Or if you're at the game, I'm going to go grab a beer, whatever the case is. That's not how baseball works.
No.
You get innings like this. Baseball will work a lot faster as far as that entertainment goes. Okay,
I love it. I love it. I'm on record. I love it. That's almost too fast. That is almost, like Emily just said, it's a little disorienting. Like, he's almost midway through his lineup or his windup as he's catching the ball back from the catcher. He's just popping it from his glove to his hand again. That's really quick.
Quick.
I dig it.
But I'm assuming part of his strategy, too?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And hitters, if Wandy Peralta continues to work at that pace, hitters will be getting in the box with their hand up to the umpire. Like, oh,
give me a second.
I get time too.
Yeah.
The rule isn't we go as fast as he wants. The rule is we have to go as fast as we both want within the time constraints.
Yeah, because they have a clock too.
Yeah, they need to be in the batter's box ready to go
yep.
prior to the clock hitting 8 seconds. Mm-hmm. So, but the second you're in there, you better be.
It's game on.
Be ready to go. Mm-hmm. That's pretty great. It was today in 1962, March 2nd, 1962, that arguably the greatest feat in NBA history took place. Wilt Chamberlain dropped 100 on the Knicks. He dropped 100 points on the Knicks. They won the game 169 to 147. He was 26 of 63 from the field. And the thing that put him over the top, he made 28 of 32 free throws.
You know what's crazy to me? Is the 26 of 63 from the field.
Under 50%.
He could have.
Of course it was the Knicks, too.
He could have had.
But it was in Hershey, which is also weird.
Yeah.
He could have had 120 points. That Wilt,
you're right.
Listen, this is Wilt Chamberlain. There's every stat line you see of his. 26 of 52 would have been 50%, right? So, yeah, a couple more buckets. I know that sounds funny. But
right.
a 26 of 63 for Wilt, you're not looking at that and saying, oh my gosh, that's unbelievable. You could have had 112, 115.
A couple of things to stick with this for a half a second. That there's no film of this really helps. That there's literally not a single thing to commemorate this achievement other than him holding up that little piece of paper that had 100 yep. written on it. That's it,
mm-hmm.
right? There's no television, as far as I know.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a radio call.
I don't think
probably
there,
is, right?
I don't. Have you ever heard it?
Because it was in Hershey. Right. I think this is the whole thing.
Have you ever heard it?
I have not.
Nor have I.
I did halftime that game.
But I'm just saying that if that existed, I mean, you've heard Bobby Thompson shot heard around the world. Mm-hmm. We've seen Babe Ruth hit home runs. I don't think there's any. Again, the NBA in 1962
sure.
was a relatively newish kind of league. There what didn't have nearly
were
the coverage.
Tape delaying finals games with Magic and Bird.
In the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So this was 20 years before that. That's the first thing. The fact that there wasn't any record of it kind of adds to the mysticism of the whole thing. John Morant had 28 and a quarter the other night. I know that this is on the list of things that will never be broken, and I'm not saying that Ja is going to break it. We've seen Clay have 37 and a quarter. We've mm-hmm. seen Ja have 28 and a quarter. And this is here's how it's going to happen if it's going to happen. It's going to be a player like Ja, okay, that all of a sudden has that quarter, just a super explosive guy like Kobe, who – through the first quarter, he scored 27 points in the first quarter. And it's like, holy smoke. And then he goes out in the second quarter and he drops 26. And now we're at 53 at the half.
Yeah.
Now we're going for it. Now I want to see what can happen. And you put up 20 more in the third quarter and you're sitting at around 75 going into that fourth quarter. We're going to try to make it happen. I'm not likely, but that is not on the never going to happen list for me.
So you hit on something that I think is the most important thing. Clay had 37 in the third.
Mm-hmm.
Ja had 28 in the third.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right that if it's going to happen, it's got to. You have to have a taste for it early. So you have to. There's been some players. Kyrie had 41.5. Dame, I think, just had 40.5. This was recently, whatever the case is. That's a Dame. Actually, the game that he dropped 71 or whatever he had. You're right that it has to happen. At halftime, you have to be in a position where you're close to 50 and it's still a game. Because if you're up 28 at halftime and somebody has 48 points, they might not get that opportunity to do it, but that's interesting that you lay it out that way.
It almost has to be a game that matters for both teams too, because if you just had a runaway, right, with just one guy's just having the night of his life, the opposition almost has to just do something super goofy to stop him from getting 100. Right, but if I have to defend for fear of losing the game, like I can't triple team a guy or I'm going to lose the game.
Yeah.
It would be close, even if he gets 100 and loses, which the scenario that we're kind of talking about, that has to be a part of it as well.
The style of players, too. The Dame being able to step back and hit 27-footers, which is not Ja's game. Yep. It's got to be a guy that I get the basket, I could hit threes, I
make
can do
free
everything.
Throws.
Hit free throws.
You got to make your free throw. Wilt hit 28 in that game.
Wilt, 23 is 26 is 63. Pick up your game, Wilt.
Yeah. Take better shots. Better shot selection along the way.
Shots.
Today was the day also in 1965. So just 3 years after Wilt dropped 100, The Sound of Music came out. And I did not know this until earlier today. What are your favorites, Em?
I love The Sound of Music. It's one of my favorite. My family used to watch it, and it just is instant nostalgia for me. I know a lot of the songs, like A Problem Like Maria, like all that good stuff. I haven't been to the Hollywood Bowl's sing-along version of it.
I know somebody who's been. I know somebody who's been 7 times.
I want to go, though. I haven't been.
That would be
go.
Me.
Really?
I want to go.
Oh, yeah. I can sing any song from The Sound of Music. What do you want to hear? When I'm with her, I'm confused, out of focus, and bemused, and I never know exactly where I am. Unpredictable as weather. She's as flighty as a feather. She's an angel. She's a demon. She's a lamb. She will pester any pest, drive a hornet from its nest. She will throw a whirling dervish out of whirl. She is gentle. She is kind. She is timid. She is shy. She's an angel. She's a demon. She's a girl. How do you solve a problem like Maria?
I have chills.
What else you want to hear?
You can actually sing, too. Yeah. I had no idea.
Long. Farewell, Wiedersehen.
Even I know that one. I know that one. That one's too easy.
You know my favorite things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do know my favorite things.
Yeah, there's tons of
what's the one?
Climb Every Mountain sucks.
Lonely Gooder.
What's the one when they're in the gazebo where the young girl sneaks out to meet the kid on the bike?
Edelweiss.
No.
What's that one?
That's your only song.
That's it.
Going on 17 fellows will fall in line.
Damn.
Caddy and careful.
It's so weird that you mention this because this is like Ireland's sweet spot.
No, but I want to go. John. I want to go.
And
I have
what
been.
Is the significance? It came out today.
Yeah, like
65.
65. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And have you watched The Pacifier ever, John?
No.
So The Pacifier is a movie with Vin Diesel. You shouldn't go see it. But it's the
Wait,
the
we
sound
went
of
from
music.
The Sound of Music to Vin Diesel?
Yep,
Vin
Diesel. Sound of Music. These are related, right?
Yeah. The Sound of Music is a big part of the movie because he becomes the babysitter for these kids, and he's an ex-Navy SEAL. He's supposed to protect these kids, but he's also their babysitter. One of the kids is in The Sound of Music, but he doesn't know he's in The Sound of Music, but he's playing the, I'm sorry, what's his name, the guy who sings
Franz.
That song? Is it?
Franz for 100.
No,
I don't.
Were you talking about the bad guy? The
yeah,
guy,
the
Rolf.
He's a Nazi. Yeah,
Rolf.
Yeah. Now, whenever Rolf comes on screen at the sing along at the Hollywood Bowl, no, everybody goes.
Right. So, like, Vin Diesel thinks that guy isn't in a movie, that he's just that person. And anyway, it's a part of the movie. But Sound of Music is in a big part of the Pacifier.
So, was this something that you
started
with, like, as a kid? Does this movie hit you right, or has this happened as an adult?
I was
in
a production as a Ute.
You
and,
were,
but it was like a kid's play, okay. And I just remembered all of it.
What was your role?
I was Colonel Von Trapp.
Oh, no way!
Yeah. Edelweiss, everything.
That's his world.
Years.
Wow,
that's great.
I can also do everything from Oklahoma.
I did not know.
It's like Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping across the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell. You don't know this? Mason calls me Broadway John.
I've heard you call him that before, but I didn't
know
this.
I know every time.
Michael accused me of having jazz hands.
Well, I'm not going to lie. He's kind of right, because when you started singing, you got very peppy.
Yes.
You sat up very straight.
He was performing.
By the way, when I go to New York, yep. I hit a Broadway show every time I go.
Michael, every time he talks about you guys are in New York, Michael's like, I'm not going anywhere. He's like, John is going everywhere.
Yeah, no. Like, this last time I went to a show called Take Me Out, which is basically... it stars Jesse Williams from Grey's Anatomy and Jesse Tyler Ferguson from
Modern Family.
It's the story of, at the height of his power, when he pretty much was the prince of the city, if Derek Jeter would have come out as gay, how would that have gone? And it's
interesting.
And literally, the very first segment, first scene, eight guys standing in the shower naked. Let's
okay.
go.
It's very, very specific. Good.
That's what John did with his night off in
with
New York.
My one night off in New York, I walked in a bunch of naked guys.
I got a lot of questions. We're getting to them all at Super Crosstalk. You know, this is why I come in every single day and get
learn
excited for
new.
Super Crosstalk.
Can I talk about the rewatchables draft?
Oh, I was going to ask you about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I know the one you're going to say that we should have put on
Wing.
Ours.
Well, West Wing would be number one for me, but I would have done... what you should have done. I would have left it to the end because nobody else would have taken
John,
West Wing.
I already admitted I messed it up.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just move
but
on.
What was number one?
Al had the first
office.
Pick. He had the office.
Which is a solid choice. Strange, quirky fact. Steve Mason has never seen an episode of The Office.
I knew that.
Not one.
I knew that.
Not a one. Everybody talks about it. I hear M, you know.
Mace, will that change?
It's great.
Will that change?
No.
So, okay, but here's my question.
It's just not, I don't know why.
Is it because you're pretty certain you wouldn't like it, or it's one of these, I haven't seen it at this point, now I'm just not
It's kind of over, right? It's over for me. Like, I went back and watched.
But it's not dated. Like, you can watch it. It still
I went back and watched The Sopranos during
COVID
the pandemic.
Doing it right now with my son.
Holds up great.
Amazing.
Okay, so there's a couple of shows that everybody else has seen that I haven't seen. And I'm wondering, you guys talked about one of them. I've never seen an episode of Parks and Rec.
Okay.
Neither have I.
Do you like The Office?
I do.
Then you'd love Parks and Rec.
Same thing. Yeah. I've also never seen an episode of Friday Night Lights.
The TV show.
I haven't seen it either.
So if I was going to go back, Em, and rewatch either one of those shows, which one would you pick?
Parks and Rec first. Friday Night Lights is really good because you have Connie Britton in the early days. You have Kyle Chandler also in the early days. But like it's very heartwarming. That's kind of thing.
Parks and Rec was good, but it kind of wore out.
Can
for
I give you guys one that none of you picked? Yeah. But I'm telling you, if you're ever looking, like you're just you got nothing going, you're looking for something to watch.
I know this one.
This happens to me in hotel rooms all the time. On Hulu, they are rerunning every episode of 30 Rock.
Amazing.
I guarantee you, if you watch it, there will be five or six jokes that you didn't get the first time.
I told you this the other day. We were talking about 30 Rock because I just watched a handful of episodes. There's at least one and frequently more than one NBA jokes in every episode of 30
Rock. It's also packed full of jokes.
It's joke.
Krakowski is the one that out of left field will just drop. She goes, well, I was once dating seven NBA players at once, and it was hard, but I mixed up the Sunday and the Monday guy. But then I just had a threesome. And then they just move on to the next joke.
And there's a Gary Busey joke in almost every episode with Janice dating Gary Busey.
I thought you were going to say Curb.
Well, Curb is to me is the best.
I should have put Curb in my
ever.
Top three.
Like, Curb, if Curb's on, I never turn it off.
See,
they don't rerun
Curb.
A lot of Curb on HBO.
I love it. It's
all available by the way. It's on HBO Max.
Is it HBO Max?
Yeah,
I loved it. I look forward to seeing it, but it's not something. I'm the opposite of you. If I'm going through it and I see it, I might come back to it, but I'm not stopping.
You know, the other one I stop on that no one else stops on that I notice jokes I didn't notice the first time is 2 and a Half Men.
It never hit me right.
Yeah, I never got that one.
Yeah. What about you, Mace? What's the one that if you're flipping channels and you land on, I'm watching this.
Let's see. Probably 30 Rock. 30 Rock is great. It's always good. You can tune in for any one episode. You don't need to have seen anything else that's happened.
They're all kind of standalone.
Yeah,
they all stand alone. That helps.
But you know what? I don't rewatch things. I'm like, I saw it once. Why? And there's all this new stuff. Why am I going to go back and rewatch something, especially something that's five seasons long?
You know what I like about that though is especially if you're trying to do two things at once, you have something on in the
background. You can half watch it.
Because if I'm trying to Susan and I are watching Yellowstone right now.
Okay,
love it.
Love it.
It's got to give you your full attention.
I need to pay attention to it.
Death.
Yeah.
Beth is a piece of work.
Awesome character. Yeah. But I got to watch it. Whereas if Seinfeld's on in the background, I know the joke without actually having to hear the
joke.
Can
I just say I know nothing about Yellowstone except I know Beth.
She's nuts.
Beth is crazy.
It's a great character.
You know what made his top three? Will be very, very surprising here. Dodger documentaries, right?
Oh, Dodgermentaries.
Dodgermentaries.
Well, yeah. I'm that way with Backstage Lakers. Like, I know the guy who produces Backstage Lakers. It's a guy named Michael Koger.
He's awesome.
Yeah, really good dude.
Great guy.
And he's just really good at his job. And if you told me, here's 100 episodes of Backstage Lakers, I could watch them all.
Same thing for me with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Same thing for me. That
you can't get past Fernando.
There was one. So this TV right here is on Spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. It's on the Dodger Spectrum. And I came in this morning, and it was a documentary on the history of Dodger Stadium. I walked over there, turned the sound up, and I watched it for half an hour.
Yeah.
It's terrific.
I like when they go back and they say, like, 10 greatest plays by Shaq. And there's always John Ireland.
Yeah.
And there's always Ramona Shelburne.
Yep, the Cams are regulars.
The Cams are regulars. It's like
Michael's on there.
Those things are timeless.
You know what else you get a little bit of? Little Roger Lodge.
Yes, that's right.
Little Roger Lodge in there.
Like, people that have been kind of persona non grata for a while, like after Dave Miller got fired, you notice less and less. Like, they went back and edited it.
I heard they mutually agreed to part.
They usually do.
That's what you heard, huh?
Yeah, that's what Dave told me.
All right, so I'm changing the subject here a little bit. John, welcome back. Haven't seen you in a while. You missed Mace yesterday, who came in dressed very
I was really
nicely.
What's that I had about? A Shannon Sharp sweater on.
You had a sweater. You had like a fashionable t-shirt.
Full-length sweater.
Yeah. Nice shoes.
Yep.
You had on a pair of non-sweatpants.
Non-sweatpants, yeah.
And you said you're turning over a new leaf, and yet here you are in
pickleball
sweatpants
practice
and a hoodie.
Today.
Well, he did say
today.
Sweaters are still staying in.
Hoodies are still standing.
By the way, hoodies,
but we're going to play pickleball this afternoon.
So this
me and Clinton
is
in Santa Monica.
A comfort choice? Or,
no, this
or,
is a I'm getting ready to play
pickleball.
Some
pickleball.
Yeah.
A workout.
So tomorrow you'll be back to yesterday.
Yeah. Tomorrow I'll be back to denim.
I just
want to
make sure it lasted more than a day.
Yeah, no. It was a good day, though. Everybody commented.
Well, it was out of character.
Ireland, while you were gone, I got rid of the ball cap. I'm not wearing a ball cap anymore.
Why?
Because I got great hair. I'm finally going to start.
That's true. You do have great hair.
I'm going to own that thing.
But I'll be surprised if it lasts.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go for it. Right. I'm going to go for it. I got great hair. Why not show it off?
I've been telling you that for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I wear a hat.
Look. I am barely holding on to what's going on up here. Me too. Of 100%.
Yeah. 100%. And he fought, like, the one thing that he fought, well, there's two things Mason fought since we've been together. The first one was he was convinced that if he ever came out, that it would be the end of his career. And when he came out, it was the opposite, right?
Yes, it was
like
totally.
People were overly
very nice.
Accommodating.
Everybody was really cool.
Yeah. Sure. And then the second thing that I fought him on forever was stop dyeing your hair.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I can't. He goes, I don't want to look. Once I look old, that's it. And I said, I'm telling you, it'll be a good thing, not a bad thing. And sure enough, as soon as you let go, you get more compliments than anything.
I went gay before I went gray.
that was in my attack ad. You know, when Mason and I, when the election was up, we each made. See if you can find those.
That's amazing. So funny. Yeah.
Jorge knows where they are if you can't find them. But
well,
we
that's
did
a great tagline.
We did attack ads, and my attack on Mason was it was so funny.
What a phony!
Unbeknownst to the other one,
yes,
we both called Morales and said, "I need you to do." An attack ad on Mason. He had already called and said,
oh, it wasn't a scheduled bit? No, you guys just did it independently?
We just said,
oh, that's great.
Come up with an ad about the other guy.
Yes.
As if you were running against him in an election.
Okay.
And we both called, Jorge, help Taylor find those. We both.
That's awesome.
Oh, they're really funny.
Basically hired Morales to be the hitman because we knew he would love it because Morales loves to stir it up.
Yes, he does.
So my thing was, Steve Mason can't make decisions. Couldn't decide when to come out as gay. Couldn't decide when to go gray. He can't make decisions. And mine was something like, Ireland poofy hair with a pocket square, can't trust him.
One percenter, big mansion, gated community.
Does he share your values?
Oh, yeah.
You would be a does he share our values guy. I don't
that's
think
good.
That you would.
Yeah.
His values? No. Hell no.
No. My values are great.
You know, the dog whistle, our values.
Our values.
You know, we all know what it means.
Exactly.
Like, okay. I didn't know you had gray hair until you stopped dying. I've known you for a long time. And I always thought you had. And then when you started to transition out of it, I thought you were dying your hair blonde.
That's what Steve Edwards texted me at one point and said, "What are you? Are you dyeing your hair blonde now?
I thought you were. I'm like, dude, what's Mason doing?
The color was slowly easing out. Yes.
Looks good. Keep it as is.
Yeah, thanks.
So,
keep it as is. Well, it's just easier, too.
Yeah, it's so much easier.
Yeah.
It's because today's the anniversary of Wilt getting 100. Jaw just had 28 and a quarter the other day. We've seen Clay at 37.
I was there and saw the defense.
You saw...
Dame has 71. That's two guys with 70 this year.
Ever again with a three-point shot, with the game being very open and offensive the way that it is. We've seen a couple of 70s this year. I know it's a long way from 100. We ever see 100? Because
Michael and I disagree on this.
I think
Michael says no. I say yes.
You think it can happen?
I think about this.
When Clay scored 37 in one quarter, he had 61 in the game, and they took him out at the end of the third quarter.
What was the score?
They were by like 30.
Yeah, it was a blowout.
That's the part of it that's hard. It has to be a competitive game to legitimize you going out there and continuing
to
score.
I saw Kobe one time had 62 at the end of three quarters against the Mavs. The Mavs had 61. Kobe outscored him by himself, but they were up by 25, so they took him out.
It would take an incredibly specific set of circumstances, because I agree the game would have to be it's got to be reasonable. You'd have to have one guy on a pace to get 100, but the game's still close, which sounds absurd, but that's what it would have to be.
We found, I don't know which one it is, but we found one
of
the attack
ads. Oh, we found both, it looks like.
Did you find
both? I'll start with yours.
Okay, here we go.
Here is my ad against Steve Mason.
I'm John Ireland, and I approve this message.
In these difficult times, our leaders have never been under more pressure to make the right decisions. Steve Mason can't make any decisions. He couldn't decide when to come out as gay. He couldn't decide when to let his hair go gray. Just this week, he canceled his Grubhub order twice in the same night. He can't even decide what to have for dinner. When the pressure is on, do you really want Steve Mason making the important decisions?
Don't ever underestimate my stupidity.
Paid for by the Morning Show Super PAC with John Ireland.
There you go.
All right, so that's pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's
very
good.
Very funny. The retort is equally as good. Here is Mason's retort.
Mason's ad against me first.
John Ireland lives in an ivory tower in a gated community in Manhattan Beach. And now he wants to represent L.A.'s working man. With a forehead like Jimmy Neutron and a country club membership, John Ireland has been the play-by-play announcer for the Lakers for five miserable seasons. He says it's a coincidence, but ask yourself, is John Ireland the reason the Lakers can't win a championship? Chris Morales calls John Ireland a pain in the ass. He's a terrible golfer, says Hall of Famer James Worthy. Even wife Lisa Ireland says, I'm voting for gay stoner Steve Mason. John Ireland, a risky gamble with an ivory tower big forehead loser with too many pocket squares.
I'm Steve Mason, and I approve this message.
I would say those are equally effective ads.
They are.
I'm voting for Mace.
Got to take down the other guy.
I think I'm voting for Mace. Those are both terrific.
That's really, really good.
Yeah. Feel free to steal that bit.
Yeah, it's a great bit.
I think we're going to need to do it.
I love that he can't make a decision.
Yes.
Yeah. He ordered twice and canceled it.
It's a true story, by the way.
I got Slee and you got
Yes. The kicker against you, Mace, that is unbelievable, is you calling yourself stupid.
It does really hurt my...
That's really good. It lands hard.
He goes... He thought it was funny, but he goes, I can't believe you use my own words.
That's the ultimate, like, gotcha, right? When they take the thing you said, and Mason said this on this day.
Yes.
Well done.
They haven't won a championship in 5 years. That's good. That's awesome.
John Ireland the reason the Lakers can't win a championship?
I still would have attacked you for your values.
What values? I don't have any values.
That's what we're talking about, right?
I'm going to use that line against him in the next campaign. I don't have any values.
What values?
What values?
My values are whatever they tell me to say.
Yeah, whatever's good for Ireland is good for the values.
Yes.
Super Crosstalks powered by In-N-Out Burger.